Today, of course, we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent. I was having a conversation with my brother earlier this week, and we are realizing now that we're adults, you know, how we kind of enjoy this time of Advent, this time of preparation for Christmas, and how it's amazing how fast this first week of Advent already flew by. Of course, as kids, though, it seems like it's just the opposite. Advent takes forever. You know, you're waiting to get to Christmas, you want those presents and all those things. Of course, being Advent, you know, we're approaching Christmas. Many of you, I'm sure, have, you know, putting up your Jesse tree or getting your Christmas tree ready or putting up the lights outside. And I began to think about one beautiful tradition, of course, is Christmas cards. Maybe some of you still write Christmas cards or even receive them. And I think it's such a good way just to celebrate the season as we approach the Christmas season, right? To reflect, you know, as you see these beautiful Christmas cards sometimes, it's just good to pause for a moment, reflect, you know, and see that picture of the creche or Our Lady holding the child Jesus, and just to make that a prayer. And often there's a scripture inside those cards or a beautiful message from your friend. It's a good time just to reflect upon the meaning of the Advent season and the Christmas season. Imagine for a moment, though, with me, if you will, if you got a Christmas card from St. John the Baptist. Of course, we heard about him today. We heard about him. He's this wild man. He's dressed in camel's hair, and he has a leather belt, and he has locusts maybe in his hands, locusts and honey in his hands, and he has that fire in his eyes. And he's on the front of the card, okay? Then you open the card, and in bold it says, "You brood of vipers! Merry Christmas, St. John the Baptist." My uncle, Father Jim, would tell that story, and I cannot forget it. I have to say, I just find it so funny. But anyways, I think it's such a good story, though, because it helps us realize the intensity that this man had, but really the intensity and the importance of our lives, right? The meaning of our lives. Because St. John the Baptist and his words really says something about the seriousness of Jesus coming, about the importance of it, the reality. John, of course, was a wild man in some sense, right? He was very different. He was set apart. He was a celibate man like Jesus and St. Paul. He was out there in the desert, kind of a wild area. He was there preaching. He was fasting. And he is indeed clearly a prophet. He's one for us who really connects the Old Testament with the New Testament. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about that today. Firstly, we know he's a prophet because he is wearing the same clothes, the camel's hair and the leather belt. He's wearing the same clothes as Elijah the prophet. And we hear that in 2 Kings, what Elijah was wearing. But also we see that in a sense he is the new Elijah. And there was going to be a new Elijah that would come, and we hear about that in the book of Malachi, from the prophet Malachi. And he said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And so St. John the Baptist is kind of that new Elijah coming before the day of the Lord. Also, of course, we heard in our gospel today about St. John the Baptist fulfilling the words of another prophet, of Isaiah. As it says, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord." And so we see how St. John the Baptist is kind of the pinnacle of the prophets. And so another thing, too, is that, you know, there hadn't been a prophet in hundreds of years. So it was likely that the first century Jews, that some of them were indeed waiting for another true prophet. They're waiting. And we see in our gospel today that they begin to come out in droves to be baptized by John the Baptist. As it says, "At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him to be baptized." So you could just imagine thousands of people coming out into the River Jordan, which is 20 miles outside of Jerusalem, to be baptized. Not an easy trip. The historian from the first century, Josephus, says, you know, he mentions John the Baptist and the large crowds that were going to him. I mean, he even mentions more about him than he does Jesus, because these crowds were very large. But we see, too, that they go to the Jordan. And the Jordan says something to us, too, about St. John the Baptist and the meaning of his life that the first century Jews would have understood. For the Jordan was the place where the first Exodus ended, where as Moses and his people, you know, crossed the Red Sea, they passed into freedom, and then they're in the desert, but their Exodus ended at the River Jordan. And so John the Baptist goes to the Jordan River. It is also the place where another prophet, the one I mentioned, Elijah, where he passed on his ministry to the next prophet, Elisha. And so the Jordan is a very particular place that they maybe recalled some of these things as they heard about this prophet at the Jordan. And then John the Baptist is there announcing the new Exodus, the beginning of the new Exodus, announcing one mightier than he, Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ is the one who will start there at the Jordan and lead us to the new promised land, to heaven. And so we see how John the Baptist unites us with the old prophets, these dozens of prophets who foretold the Christ to come, and then of course the New Testament to Jesus pointing to the Lord. It's so good to study, to learn our faith, to see all these prophecies. Of course, Advent is a particular time when we hear from these prophets, especially the book of Isaiah. I'd encourage you to go home and read that. But also, of course, we're doing our book study now. I don't know if you've had a chance to read along with us this book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary. But it's very similar. We hear about these ancient roots foretelling what was to come with Jesus, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, how Jesus, the new Adam, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the new Eve. It is so beautiful too, particularly because in all these things, we realize that God has been preparing the world for Jesus since the very beginning of time. God has been preparing the world for Jesus since the beginning of time. And all these other man-made religions, none of them have this. But we see how the Lord works throughout the centuries preparing, you know, that there would be a child to be born in Bethlehem and all these other prophecies. I don't have time to get into them all, but it's so beautiful to study them, to see how the prophets foretold it, to see the fulfillment in Jesus Christ, to see John the Baptist pointing to him. We also saw, of course, in our gospel today how John the Baptist baptizes with water, but Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit in fire. And it is so beautiful, of course, you know, we see the world being prepared for Jesus Christ, but also we see how God wants to set our hearts on fire. He wants to give us the Holy Spirit, that the Lord knew each and every one of you before time, that he knows you by name, that he wants to fill you with the fire of his love. If you've ever prayed that prayer of the Holy Spirit, right? To set your hearts on fire that you might know his love, you might know him individually. And so it's so beautiful, this time in Lent, right? To prepare ourselves as we journey on this journey to the birth of Christ. And I think Our Lady is such a great example, a great one to walk with, right? For we realize that she too was preparing for the coming of Christ. And it's so good to think of that analogy of pregnancy because, right, there's that uncomfortability, right? You gotta have patience, all these things, you know, all these changes and everything. I think we experience some of that in Advent, but also the joy that is to come, the anticipation. Because I'm sure the Blessed Virgin Mary is there, you know, not sure what the child was going to look like. Wanted to see and hold this child, God, Jesus Christ himself, the second person of the Trinity, to hold him in her arms. And so what a beautiful thing to walk with Our Lady during this Advent as we prepare for the coming of Christ. Of course, as I mentioned before, just the serious of this time of Advent too, and that's what St. John the Baptist was doing, right? Calling people to repentance, but he was really calling out the Sadducees and Pharisees at the time. He called them a brood of vipers because they knew Abraham, you know, they had the faith, but they didn't have the fruits, and he talks about fruits. And so we are called to good works, right? We have to live our faith, to live out a life of charity. And so I'd encourage you, you know, as this Advent season seems like it's flying by, at least for me, I encourage you to join me in just making some resolutions for Lent. I don't know what it is. You decide, you know, if it's maybe some time for quiet prayer each day, you know, a little extended time, or to come to daily mass one more time a week, or, you know, works of charity, works of generosity, whatever it is, but just to ask the Lord and then think about what you could do and then to write it down. Because we realize the gravity of our lives and how we need to take it seriously that we indeed are preparing. And so if you write that down, write down your resolution and then just place it beneath the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary in your home, or maybe an image of her, that we might walk with the Blessed Virgin Mary this Advent in preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ to the Blessed Virgin Mary, but to all of us in a new way as we experience this Christmas. Indeed, in Advent, we prepare the way of the Lord in our own hearts. And we'll hear a preface in the coming weeks as we get closer, and it says this: For all the oracles of the prophets foretold him, The Virgin Mother longed for him with love beyond all telling. John the Baptist sang of his coming and proclaimed his presence when he came. Brothers and sisters, may we enter into this time with the prophets, awaiting with that great anxiousness, with that great joy, and indeed prepare our hearts as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.